Welcome to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, where we reverse engineer the success of fast-growing SaaS firms and explore strategies CMOs and CEOs are using to drive their businesses forward.
Welcome to SaaS Backwards, a podcast that helps SaaS CMOs and CEOs to accelerate growth and enhance profitability. Our guest today is Ben Beadle-Ribe, co-founder and SVP of Commercial at Akasa, a SaaS that helps hospitals and health systems with revenue cycle management. Hey, Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Ken, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. Really special to spend some time with you all today.
Thanks so much. Hey, before we dig in, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your company?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. For me personally, as you mentioned in your intro, I'm a co-founder at Akasa and I oversee our commercial operations. But by way of background, I have spent my career in the healthcare space in both consulting and sales roles. So I spent the better part of my career at a publicly traded company called the Advisory Board Company that specialized in healthcare research, consulting, and technology for predominantly hospitals and health systems. And while I was there, I was focused on revenue cycle and financial operations transformation for those organizations. A lot of that time in consulting, but eventually was charged with helping to grow the business. I became a partner in our consulting organization, had the privilege of working with well over 200 hospitals and health systems across the country in my time there. Our company was acquired by Optum, which is a subsidiary of United Healthcare several years ago. I had the honor of working at Optum for a while, and Optum also played in a similar space. What was really exciting for me is it was about that time that I got connected with my eventual co-founders. And we saw that there was a huge opportunity to disrupt the healthcare revenue cycle and finance operations space. And more broadly, healthcare operations, back office operations, by introducing modern machine learning and artificial intelligence in order to automate many workflows that have been performed manually today. And so this is a perfect segue into telling a little bit about Akasa. Akasa is a healthcare AI company based out of Silicon Valley. Stanford AI PhDs, Google engineers, Facebook engineers, and combine that with deep domain experts in the healthcare space in order to address a really enormous problem in order to improve efficiency in healthcare and improve healthcare outcomes for everyone. It's been an incredibly excited journey, and I'm thrilled to tell you about it today.
That's great. Thank you. And I think it's really interesting as a consumer of healthcare and hospital services, you would think they would have their act together on getting the revenue done. But I guess you had plenty of opportunity to see into the actual back office ops of these enterprises and realize there was room for improvement.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think for those people that access healthcare as patients, there is a lot that happens behind the scenes that we are completely unaware of and oblivious to. And much of that stems from the very Byzantine nature of our healthcare payer ecosystem, right? We have many insurance companies, we have government payers that cover the costs of care. We have providers, predominantly hospitals and health systems, but medical groups, physician practices, they provide the care. And there are just the natural complexities that go along with everyone's individual needs as they are going through their care experience. And what that ultimately results in is complexity that organizations have solved by putting in place certain technologies, certain human experts, certain processes. And much of that takes place in the background in assigning codes and whatnot. But gosh, it is not an uncommon set of awareness that the healthcare patient financial experience is lacking. Right? There are a lot of individuals that go through their experience and they have a confusion about their medical bills. There's surprise medical bills. These are all issues that the industry of healthcare has been grappling with for many years and trying to solve in many ways. And there's so many different areas we have really focused on. How do we streamline the back office administrative functions in order to ensure that a greater proportion of every dollar spent in healthcare is dedicated to delivering high quality care?
That's an awesome mission. The company is what, about 4 or 5 years old? Is that right?
That's right. So we're entering our fourth year as a company, and it has been a really tremendous journey. We've accomplished many milestones along the way as we have grown our team, as we have gone out into the market, been able to secure some of the largest health systems as customers, and then we've delivered some just amazing value.
Well, so one of the things we talked about before was that it's really hard to sell to hospitals and health systems. They have the most elaborate defenses to sales outreach. And I'm just wondering how, as a young company, you gained that initial trust. I mean, how much of your solution was built and ready to go before you did that sale? And how did you crack that market? Because that's no easy feat.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind of recognition of the challenges that this market presents. I will share anecdotally that one of the good fortunes I have, being at the earliest stage of the company, being surrounded by kind of venture-backed companies that are supported by the same venture capital firms that support us, I have had many conversations with sales leaders. And as they hear that we are working with hospitals and health systems, many of them shake their head and say, oh my gosh, I feel for you all. That is so challenging, right? It's a difficult space. We have a few things that we benefit from. Number one, we invested heavily in healthcare expertise at the company from the get-go. So people who knew the space, who had sold into the space, I have a lot of experience there. Number two, to your point, many of these organizations are large. They are bureaucratic. They are risk averse, right? They have a lot of data that they need to protect, patient health data. They take their security very seriously, as they should. And so we have to invest heavily in every single one of those steps along the way, getting different certifications, ensuring that we have certain measures in place to give them that confidence to be able to work with us and trust us with their data. Those are very important factors. I think the other elements that we really try to leverage early on is we have been fortunately backed by very prestigious venture capital firms like Andreessen Horowitz. And that organization brings a strong brand name to the table. They have relationships across the industry. And that has supported us as a company that's establishing our brand in getting out there, in forming relationships, and ultimately navigating long, complex sales cycles with these organizations to ultimately get to a stage where, hey, we're doing our job and we're automating workflows for them. So that's been some of the tactics that we have used in our earliest stages. We are now, as we mature, thinking about how do we invest more in marketing? How do we ensure that our brand really carries some weight so that we are the foremost expert when it comes to healthcare automation that organizations are turning to?
Interesting. Was there an essential problem that you were solving with the first release or releases of the software that just compelled these executives to pay some attention?
Yeah, there was. I'll talk both at an organizational, kind of a micro level, but I'll also pull up from a macro perspective. In the industry, the average cost to collect for hospitals and health systems, and cost to collect represents the amount of dollars that are allocated to collecting the reimbursement that is due for services that have been rendered. That is 3% of an organization's net patient revenue. So year in, year out, they are spending 3% of their overall revenue just on revenue cycle resources, technology, staff. And for years, that number has been right around 3%. Our gains plateaued 10 to 15 years ago. We were able to benefit from economies of scale as we saw hospitals merge and consolidate. But if you think about it, for organizations that their net patient revenue is $1 billion a year or $10 billion a year, it is a significant amount of spend that they have every year. And a vast majority of that is on resources that are performing manual tasks that are very repetitive in nature. And so ultimately, there's an opportunity there to lower that cost and be more efficient, actually upskilling the staff that you have so that they're not doing those routine, mundane, repetitive, monotonous tasks. And so we said, there's a deep hunger in the market to deliver those efficiencies and help organizations in healthcare in particular that are very razor thin margins to do more with less. And automation really enables that. If you think at the macro level, Ken, what I'd share is in the healthcare industry, it's a $3 trillion industry, but studies have found that there's $500 billion in waste associated with medical billing and insurance. To us, that's unacceptable. We have to do better as a country. And so that's where we said there's a massive opportunity to improve healthcare, to deliver value, and to drive down the spend that's occurring in U.S. healthcare today.
So I think that was really great because it truly paints the picture of the problem you're solving and what would compel a risk-averse organization to take a look at a new entrant into the market. And I think that's really awesome. Let's talk a little bit about things that have developed in the company in the last year since your recent funding. That's a transformative opportunity in the life of a young company, and it'd be great to understand about the fundraising and how you've put that money to work.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. And we are first very humbled and feel a deep sense of gratitude for the good fortune that we've had as a company, thanks to our hard work and the way we've been received in the market. One of the testaments to that has been the confidence that investors have had in backing us and going through different fundraises. In our short tenure, we had gone through a seed, a series A, and then what you're referencing is about a year ago, we went through a series B financing. And for us, that has been something that has enabled us to really pour gas on the fire and invest in doing more of what we're doing. We had demonstrated successfully that we have product market fit, a deep level of interest in the market, people that are seeing this as a problem. We had demonstrated that we can achieve real ROI and we can deliver value to these customers. So much so that we had several of our early customers were organically coming to us and saying, hey, we want more of this. Can you do this in other tangential spaces? And so that's a really exciting measure of what the opportunity is for us to grow and scale into. And the capital from our Series B enabled us to say, let's continue hiring top-notch resources, world-class talents across all domains in the company. And it's amazing. As I reflect back on the last year, it has been a massive year for us in terms of growth on all levels. From an employee basis, we quadrupled in size. We went from 50 employees to over 200 employees. And that is incredibly exciting. It's also, in an honest moment, it's challenging. We have done the vast majority of that has been all remote. We've embraced a fully distributed model. We have people from across the country that we're bringing on board. And so we've been able to invest in how do we make positive onboarding experiences? How do we ensure that we have a good pulse on employee satisfaction, what they find value from? And I will note that just a week and a half ago, we achieved a very exciting milestone of being selected as one of the top employer for startups in the country by Forbes. And we were so thrilled. That is something we take a lot of pride in. And as your audience knows, growing so quickly is not an easy task. And we're really proud of what we have been able to accomplish in the last year.
Yeah, especially in the wake of the great resignation, people really reevaluating what's important to them in their work and work-life balance and how they want to move through life. I think that is a great testimony to what you're doing.
And I'll just build on that. I think one of the things that is special about the space we're in is as difficult as it can be to sell into this space, to market into this space, so many of our employees, 100% of them attached to the mission of healthcare. And that is a big part of why we built this company. Can we make healthcare better? I think it's no secret around the country that there's room for improvement. And when you have that deep alignment in the mission of healthcare and improving healthcare, along with solving very challenging problems, you attract a really phenomenal talent pool. And we have been very fortunate that people continue to lean into our mission and support us in delivering on that vision.
Yeah, I can say certainly in my work in the agency business, when my clients are improving lives of real people, it seems to be a lot more interesting and compelling to work on. Our healthcare clients are among the most compelling that we have. So I can certainly understand that. So with this funding, some things have changed, right? So one of them was you have a new marketing leader, new CMO. What's the mandate for a new CMO at Akasa? What is his job really about?
Yeah, as a part of our growth over the last year, I mentioned some of the total employee numbers, but a part of that has been being very thoughtful and strategic in hiring really talented executives that can help us raise the bar. And our chief marketing officer is a really significant investment that we've made. I think we collectively recognize that marketing is such a critical element to establishing a brand externally, establishing a meaningful brand with our employees internally, generating top of funnel interest and activities that ultimately supports our growth as a company, and then helping us to translate the impact that we're having on organizations and showcase that externally. And we really felt like this is a very important thing to over-rotate into marketing. And our CMO is coming in charged with really helping to up-level us as a company, to give us a brand feeling that feels aligned with how we've grown as a company, that can showcase the important work that we're doing. I will say one of the natural challenges that exists in the space we're in is there are a lot of organizations, companies that talk about AI or automation. Anyways, those are buzzwords. We are very fortunate to have real experts in the space that are out of Silicon Valley that have been doing this with the most prestigious engineering companies for the last 10, 20 years. And so we take real pride in having very resilient automation that handles and navigates complex scenarios like healthcare operations. And so a big part of what we need to do is help to educate the market, help them to understand what are the different forms of automation, how do they evaluate it. Our marketing department is supporting that effort significantly. How do we think about our messaging? How do we think about our approach, our digital presence, our presence at in-person events? Remarkable, I can even mention that the last 2 years, but they are back. So we're thrilled to have him on board. And I partner very closely with him to think about that tight connection between marketing and sales and how do we grow together.
Is it fair to say that a lot of the early sales success was what you call founder-led sales?
I think that there was a lot of early momentum that we got from the founders being there, delivering the message, really thinking about where it went, leveraging our own networks, leveraging our investor and advisor networks. And if I'm taking a moment to give us a pat on the back, I think we did a very good job of that. That only scales to a certain degree. And now we have the challenge that any enterprise SaaS company, any company, quite frankly, that reaches certain milestones has, which is how do we scale? This, how do we become a predictable, repeatable, scalable? And the investments we've made in building out our sales functions. So not only the number of account executives that we have or sales development representatives we have, but sales operations, sales training, some of those softer side pieces of sales. Similarly, in the marketing side, making sure we have great product marketing, events marketing, our communications team being exceptional. And so all of those are very much acknowledgments of what it takes to go to the next level. And I think one of the things that's incredibly exciting that we've been working on over the last 6 months is really trying to perfect what our sales playbook looks like, what our growth playbook looks like. How do we define the customer journey along the way? And how do we really engage them at points where they are ready to evaluate automation in healthcare?
That's very exciting. And you explained it in a really concise and useful way that when you get to a certain point, you can't just tap your network anymore. And if you want to scale, you've made promises in order to get the financing. That's part of the deal. So now you have to make good on the commitments. And so you're a year out. How are you tracking on the commitments that you made to get the money?
We've been really doing exceptionally well. Every quarter has grown. Our third and fourth quarters were, when you combine them, larger than what we have achieved in total previously. So we have, the wind is behind our sails. We feel really good about the efforts that we've been making. And yet we are diagnosing how we can get better. And really, when it comes to sales and repeatable, scalable process, it is about process. It is about really drilling down into each and every element of that buyer's journey and determining where we can be more effective, where we can streamline things, where we can leverage data to do a better job of that. I would give us a high grade on what we've accomplished thus far. I'd also say that we have very high standards on where we need to go to continue with that momentum.
That's awesome. I want to dig down a little bit on the role of marketing in the company. We talk about top of funnel. Is this really a demand generation and account-based marketing approach? Because when we look at the website, it's not huge on what we would call traditional lead generation. There's some of that in there. So how, if you were looking at the three or four main functions of marketing, building brand and demand, lead generation, where would you say the balance is on?
Yeah, you're talking to someone with a revenue target over their head. So I'm almost always going to be aligned with, hey, demand gen and how do we drive more leads? But we have been really thoughtful and deliberate as a company in recognizing the importance of establishing and evolving our brand over time. And one of the things that I know, having come from organizations that had well-established brands, right? When I go around healthcare and I talk about the advisory board company, there is a kind of a gravitas to that. People have respected that name for years. And we aspire at Acasa to have that same type of reaction where folks know that they can turn to us and we are the go-to expert for delivering value in this space, that we are trusted advisors. And a big part of that is based on our brand, our content, our thought leadership. It is also supported by the tremendous results that we're delivering, the references that we have, the industry presence that we have. And so Those are all investments that we're making. When it comes to the top of funnel and demand generation, we are layering in lots of sophisticated investments into that space too, to help us. Where do we allocate our dollars? How are we doing A/B testing? Certainly experimenting with account-based marketing that is trying to support organizations in recognizing when they have a need, and that Akasa is one of the go-to resources they should be thinking about for addressing that automation need. So I'm not sure that I would be able to give you an exact kind of percentage as to how we allocate them, but I think in today's environment, most enterprise growth organizations, enterprise sales, SaaS organizations need to count on investing in each and every one of those areas in order to maximize what your outcomes are going to be.
Right. So revenue target over my head, you have to help me with lead generation. Right. Revenue target, long-term, I need to build my brand.
Yep.
And I've got a few thousand organizations that might be able to buy from me. So yeah. I need to do account-based marketing and really understand my top opportunities and make sure we're in front of those people at the right time.
You've nailed it 100%. Every single one of those is so important. And it is part of the reason that we made sure to invest in a chief marketing officer with a ton of experience in the industry and other industries. And we're excited. I think there's a kind of, I will say historically, there's been I don't want to say a misconception, but marketing serves as air cover. And I think there is elements of that, but each and every one of those facets that we just discussed is so critically important for us and any company that aspires to grow.
That's great. I'd love to switch gears a little bit, if that's okay. I think we really covered that well. But one of the things we talked about before starting the podcast today was the idea of offering advice to people who might have an idea and they want to go to market, go from one role to another. In your case, you were in a consulting or advisory role, if I understand it correctly, with your clients, and you made the leap to becoming a software entrepreneur, which is no small leap. And I'm wondering how you and your co-founders made that leap and any advice you have for people who are on the corporate side looking at that possibility. Because I think it's having deep expertise and being respected as an advisor or in a corporate role, and then moving to a software entrepreneur space, that's something of a jump. So I'd love your feedback on that.
Yeah, it is. Anytime anyone endeavors to start something from scratch, it's a huge leap. It's a big risk. And for me, I had the benefit of, while I was spent the better part of my career doing consulting in an advisory capacity, part of that was my company and the industry had technologies that supported that. And so I interacted very closely with technologies, with implementations, with SaaS-based solutions. So I had a ton of exposure, had a deep understanding of what presence those had in the healthcare market today. So I was able to lean on some of that experience previously. My co-founders come from backgrounds of having been and developed technologies, right? So we have some gifted engineers who have been there from the early stages of companies, people who have built and sold companies, and then people with deep healthcare venture capital experience. The four of us came together, and here's a couple of things that I would offer. Number one, we spent the better part of a year really pressure testing our ideas, right? We were spending time conceptualizing, visualizing, coming up with what is the market we want to pursue, what is our vision for the product, what problem does it solve. We then had early stage conversations to really determine if there was an appetite for it. And that helped us to tweak and iterate and evolve. And then ultimately, when we said, we think we have something here, I mentioned the risk and how, you know, it is scary. I was in a really comfortable, successful position, quite frankly, to leave that. We all acknowledged that we had to de-risk this as much as possible. And that starts with making sure you have a deep understanding of the market, developing an early concept of the product, having a customer or two on board. We did. And then we also had the good fortune of being able to secure venture capital, which helped us to say, we can pursue this. Every stage of growth, if you think about, in many ways, venture capital and investor community, they are looking and they're measuring milestones and saying, has risk been removed and has upside been created, right? And so as we went through that Series A, investors said, gosh, they've accomplished a lot. We feel like we want to help them to grow more. Series B, same thing. It's fun. It's exciting. There are personal things associated with it as well that we all thought through. Amongst myself, my co-founders, we have gone through three of us have gotten engaged in that period since we started. Two of us have gotten married. Two of us have had children. And all the while, I think we said, like, this Akasa is our baby. And it's been just a really fun, rewarding experience. I would never change it. I'm so excited excited about what we've accomplished. There is so much more. And our kind of unwavering philosophy is like, treat it like it's day zero. We still have so much more that we need to accomplish.
That's really interesting and exciting. And I think there's one little thing I just want to go back at, because I think it's really important. The team had experiences that were really important toward having a good initial year or two. So the experience building venture-backed companies, the reach into the community to attract investment. So it wasn't like it was everybody's first time doing all of these things.
Yeah. And we were very complimentary in nature. I have kind of remarked that there are countless references to the concept of a founder dating, getting to know your co-founders, right? No one should enter that process lightly. And you really want to not only think through all of the business model and where you're going to go, but also get a sense for, are you all going to work well? Are you going to complement each other well? Because there's difficult decisions and situations that are ahead, and you have to be able to go through them together and grow together. Yeah. Thanks for asking all this. It's fun to share some of this.
Founder dating. I think that's the first time I've heard that.
I think for folks that are on the line that are entrepreneurial, that have thought about, they've all probably gone through a degree of that. I will share that even elements of what we did is it was long distance founder dating. I lived in a different area. So we went through all that, but it gave us ultimately the confidence to say, we've got something here and let's pursue it full heartedly.
Yeah. And I think we've all seen into companies where the founders weren't compatible enough. So that's a bummer.
It's hard and it's very difficult to predict. I feel very fortunate that we have come together and we've really gelled as we've grown.
I think that's a great place to land the podcast. This was really revealing and interesting conversation. Hey, if listeners want to learn more about your company or be in touch, how can they do those things?
Yeah, they can visit us on our website, www.acasa.com, and ton of information about what it is that we do, some of the news and press releases about our growth. All of that is there. You certainly visit our LinkedIn. That is where so much of, I think, the professional world is getting their updates these days. And so we release a lot of our progress along the way via that stream. Outside of that, if they want to directly ask a question, there's opportunities for getting demos at the website, or if they write us at info@acasa.com, we'd be happy to respond to any inquiries.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And to folks listening, if you found this episode of interest, please subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be out with another episode very soon. Thanks so very much, Ben. That was awesome.
Ken, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, brought to you by Austin Lawrence Group. We're a growth marketing agency that helps SaaS firms reduce churn, accelerate sales, and generate demand. Learn more about us at www.austinlawrence.com. You can email Ken Lempit at kl@austinlawrence.com about any SaaS marketing or customer retention subject. We hope you'll subscribe. And thanks again for listening.
Here.